He's such a brave lad.
Monster true strength.
The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says to the land of Israel. The end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land. The end is now upon you, and I will unleash my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. I will surely repay you for your conduct and the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Disaster, an unheard of disaster is coming. The end has come. The end has come. It has roused itself against you. It has come. Doom has come upon you, you who dwell in the land. The time has come. The day is near. There is panic, not joy, upon the mountains. I'm about to pour out my wrath on you and spend my anger against you. I will judge you according to your conduct and repay you for all your detestable practices. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. I will repay you in accordance with your conduct and the detestable practices among you. Then you will know that it is I, the Lord, who strikes the blow. The day is here. It has come. Doom has burst forth. The rod has budded. Arrogance has blossomed. Violence has grown into a rod to punish wickedness. None of the people will be left. None of that crowd, no wealth, nothing of value. The time has come. The day has arrived. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller grieve, for wrath is upon the whole crowd. The seller will not recover the land he has sold as long as both of them live, for the vision concerning the whole crowd will not be reversed. Because of their sins, not one of them will preserve his life. Though they blow the trumpet and get everything ready, no one will go into battle, for my wrath is upon the whole crowd. Outside is the sword, inside are plague and famine. Those in the country will die by the sword, those in the city will be devoured by famine and plague. All who survive and escape will be in the mountains, moaning like doves of the valleys, each because of his sins. Every hand will go limp, and every knee will become as weak as water. They will put on sackcloth and be clothed with terror. Their faces will be covered with shame, and their heads will be shaved. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be an unclean thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. They will not satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it has made them stumble into sin. They were proud of their beautiful jewelry and used it to make their detestable idols and vile images. Therefore I will turn these into an unclean thing for them. I will hand it all over as plunder to foreigners and as loot to the wicked of the earth, and they will defile it. I will turn my face away from them, and they will desecrate my treasured place. Robbers will enter it and desecrate it. Prepare chains, because the land is full of bloodshed and the city is full of violence. I will bring the most wicked of the nations to take possession of their houses. I will put an end to the pride of the mighty, and their sanctuaries will be desecrated. When terror comes, they will seek peace, but there will be none. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. They will try to get a vision from the prophet. The teaching of the law by the priest will be lost, as will the counsel of the elders. The king will mourn. The prince will be clothed with despair, and the hands of the people of the land will tremble. I will deal with them according to their conduct, and by their own standards I will judge them. then they will know that I am the Lord.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You've tuned in to True Stream Oasis, and for that I'm very appreciative. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and this is the day that the Lord has made. We're alive, we're breathing, we're kicking, we're still strong, we still got time, we still have opportunity. So let's rejoice on that, okay? And don't forget, as you're sitting in this darkness, and as this darkness gets more oppressive and seems to cave in on you, remember that the Lord is our light. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Of whom shall we fear? You know, think about David going out there and speaking to Goliath. Think about that. What did he say? He said to Goliath, he said, "Who art thou that thou defiest the army of the living God?" You know, so you guys hang tough, all right? Let's be like David, and let's keep our strength and keep our faith and understand that the Lord Almighty is exalted. He is the Holy One, and He is on His throne. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes against you in this day, God is on His throne, and He sits and laughs at the schemes of men. He created Lucifer, and He is sovereign, and He knows what's going down, because this is His revelation. So don't you guys forget that, all right? I just wanted to encourage you with that. You know, last night I came in from work, and man, I felt that spirit of oppression sinking in on me, that, you know, fading to gray feeling, and I just had to get into prayer. You know, I was just like, Lord, just help me, help me. You know, and I'm sure you guys can relate to that, that you get in those times where, you know, you're just crying out to the Lord. You're going to the throne and just crying out to the Lord. Well, I'm no different than anybody else, you know. I just came in, I was feeling terrible. It just, you know, I'm trying to explain it because, you know, it's encouraging when somebody else just relates to you and, you know, expresses their feelings, and it just kind of feels like to me that it feels like almost like the Lord's mad at me type of feeling. I don't know if you guys feel that way or not, but I was just sitting there praying to the Lord. I was like, you know, Lord, it feels like you're mad at me about something. And you know, he brought a scripture to my mind. It's that scripture that Paul the Apostle talks about. It says, "Beware of your enemy, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And when you go back to Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2, it says, "The king's anger is like a roaring lion." The king's wrath is like a roaring lion. Whoever angers him forfeits his life. Now, if you put that together and you make the connection, the king's anger is like a roaring lion. And Paul says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So it feels like heat on you, you know? You feel that feeling almost like guilt. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm embarrassing myself and kind of putting myself out there. Maybe nobody else feels like that. But I have a sneaking suspicion that you guys do. But that's kind of what it feels like. It fades to gray. It kind of comes in on you. and you just feel like that sense of dread, and it really sucks because you just don't feel good. So I just want to encourage you guys that you aren't alone. You know, this oppression, I'm feeling it. I heard Frank Lordy speaking about it on Salvation Revelation. He had a podcast where he started out talking about the oppression and about wearing down the saints of the Most High. And, you know, I totally related to that. I've been feeling it, and I guess a lot of the other podcasters out there have been feeling it, and, you know, that means that you guys are probably feeling it too. So I wanted to encourage you with that word, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. As long as you're going to the throne, you're confessing, you're repenting, and you've humbled yourself before the Lord, if Satan's coming after you, just go to the throne and talk to the Lord about it, because that's what he's there for. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. So as this darkness starts to sink in and starts to surround you, remember that the Lord is our light. And I mean that. I really do mean that. The Lord is our light, and we're going to need this. We are going to need to focus on the Lord and remember that he came down here, got nailed to a cross, and faced the empty loneliness of God turning his back on him. And he became a curse for us. And he did that for a reason, because he's going to save his church. You know, there's all this talk about heroes, you know, and all these superheroes. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the original superhero. He rescued us from this. You know, we're bringing all this stuff out, and we're exposing all this stuff that was hiding in the darkness, and now it's coming out, and it may be crashing in on your reality. It may be bringing you down. But guess what? And I know you can. I know you guys can relate to this. I know you can. This is what you're being saved from. You're now starting to get a good glimpse at what you're being saved from. And this has got to be making the good news of the gospel even more good news, because this is what's been going on behind the scenes. I've said it many times, and Paul says that the secret power of lawlessness was already at work in his day. He said the great rebellion would occur, and then that wicked would be revealed, and it's coming out. And we're going to have to hang tough. I mean, these are the days that are going to try our faith. So you guys hang tough. I thank you guys for tuning in again. This podcast is called The U.S. Dollar is Dying. I want you guys to prepare for this, because I have a feeling that, you know, I went through it when I started to see this coming down, you know, and I went through a period where I lost a lot of things because I was in a relationship that I wasn't supposed to be in, and God had to break those ties in my life. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it's a shame, but I slept in my car for a little while. And I realized during that point how much I actually trusted in the system, you know, and I was relying on money and everything that it could provide for me. But this stuff is getting ready to go away. To what extent, I'm not sure. I have a feeling that the Illuminati is not going to break the total system down, you know, but it's going to be just enough controlled chaos to you know, break people and get them in that mood where they're ready to submit. And we're going to have to stand strong. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For Christ is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And he's going to lead us to green pastures. This is like the birth canal, and it's going to squeeze, it's going to hurt, there's going to be suffering, but we're all in this together. And now you're starting to understand why Paul said it is a joy to partake in the fellowship of his sufferings. And this is a fellowship that we're in, and we're suffering through this together. We're in this together, guys, so hang tough. I wanted to encourage you with that. I'm not going to talk too much here at the beginning. I want to read an article at the end. But I hope you guys pay attention to the scriptures. I separated these sections with a little bit of white noise so that you guys could focus on some things. And I repeated things when I wanted to draw your attention to it. So I laid this out with a particular progression. So I want you guys, if you would, I would really appreciate it if you'd be clear-minded, pay attention to this, pay attention to where I've inserted the scriptures, pay attention when things are repeated, and follow the progression of logic. Because basically what I'm laying out here is the fact that this dollar crash is being manipulated to bring in they're trying to get to a one world currency, and this is going to be done in stages. So, you know, we've heard about the North American Union. They're bringing it in, and you know what? Man, this sucks. This really, really sucks. But we've got to go through it. It's prophesied. God is teaching us something through this. He's preparing us. He's going to refine us in the fire. But, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they got thrown in the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, it looked like one of the son of the gods, the son of God, was walking around in the fire with them. And the Lord's going to be with us through this, but he has a particular purpose in all of this. He says, your faith is more precious to him than gold. And he talks about refining gold. And we're going to be refined. We're going to be taken through the fire. But when we come through it, all the dross, all those things that we couldn't let go of are going to be burned away. And we're going to come out shiny and new. And this is all going to be worth it in the end. So I want you guys to hold on to your faith, understand why this is happening, and really key in on what James said, that it's about patient endurance. Even John said that in Revelation, that the patient endurance that is ours in Christ Jesus. So you guys hang on that, you know, hang on to that for dear life. Remember that God is working trials in our lives to produce patience, and patience produces character, and in the end, it produces hope and faith, which is what the Lord's looking for. So I'm going to go ahead and get started on this so that this podcast isn't super long, but pay attention to the progression, and I hope you guys get the message with this, because it's coming. It's coming, and it's coming hard and fast. It's like birth pains, you know? And I think 9/11 was the main first contraction. There will be no more delay. They're not going to quote the proverb in Israel anymore, you know, every vision comes to nothing. These visions are going to be fulfilled. They're going to be fulfilled quickly. And it doesn't matter if the Illuminati is trying to mimic the book of Revelation. It was prophesied. So whether it's happening on purpose or whether it's not, it's still happening, and God said it would happen. So that's really a non-issue. It's coming to pass. So strap on your seatbelt. Anchor yourself to the Rock of Ages. Drive that spike in deep as the winds start to blow, and keep your faith, okay? Love all you guys. So hang tough. Open your ears. Get that mindset nice and clear, and give it a listen, okay?
Measured against other major currencies. This year alone, it's fallen by over 9%. A declining dollar has been hailed by many American commentators as a solution to the growing U.S. trade deficit. But America's trading partners complain that they're having to pay for the USA's own economic shortcomings. As the dollar falls most heavily against the euro, for example, it makes U.S. exports significantly cheaper compared to their European counterparts. Speaking before the U.S. Congress in early November, French President Nicolas Sarkozy warned that the dollar cannot remain someone else's problem. He said if we're not careful, monetary disarray could morph into economic war, and we would all be its victims. Most worryingly for the US, some OPEC nations are pressing to change the pricing of oil out of dollars. Even supermodels are complaining. Brazilian Gisele Bündchen has reportedly refused to accept dollars and instead insists on being paid in euros. With the dollar falling so out of fashion, how much longer can it continue in its role as the world's reserve currency? People in Power's Max Kaiser investigates.
Last year, I reported to you about the rapidly deteriorating health of the U.S. dollar. Today, I can confirm the U.S. dollar is in critical condition and losing ground fast. I heard the U.S. dollar was in the emergency room.
Yes, you are in the emergency room.
No, the dollar, the U.S. dollar. Is the the U.S. dollar? Is it? I heard it's in the emergency room and it's in bad, critical condition.
Yes, all over France, all over Europe, in fact.
Until a few months ago, it was believed that America was the richest nation in the world, that the American consumer would heroically be the world's consumer. How did it all go horribly wrong so quickly?
It's because there's an oversupply of dollars. There's an oversupply of dollars because of large and persistent budget deficits. And in addition, the United States is running massive and rising trade deficits. And these two things together create an excess supply of dollars in the world, and people are beginning to distrust its reserve currency role and hedge their bets. And so the process of moving, even on the margin, that is slightly, away from holding dollars, depresses its value.
What staggered me 4 weeks ago when I was in New York was just how upbeat people were. I just couldn't believe it. Even in Washington at the IMF meeting, on the face of it, people were very upbeat.
When you look at a currency crisis, and there have been dozens and dozens of currency crises since the end of the Second World War, where currencies have disappeared or been completely destroyed, the people that react last are the people in the country where the currency is destroyed. And it's a very natural thing to have happen because you're constantly dealing in the currency, you're getting paid in the currency, you're spending that currency, and you think all is going to be well. It's outside the country that people recognize first if that currency has particular problems.
Yes, a very sad day for the dollar. In terminal decline.
But with the dollar falling so much in 5 years, why has the trade deficit not fallen? A weaker dollar is supposed to make U.S. exports more attractive.
Our current trade deficit is importantly caused by the offshoring practices of American corporations. When a U.S.-based company moves its production of goods and services offshore, when those goods come back in to American markets, they count as foreign imports. So every time an American firm offshores its production, it converts what formerly was American gross domestic product into imports, which are the gross domestic product of the foreign country. So offshoring automatically raises the trade deficit, dollar for dollar.
There's winners and there's losers from globalization. If you're a low-skilled worker in the States, the reality is that in 20 years' time, you're going to get paid the same as a low-skilled worker in China. That's not comfortable.
You have to understand there are powerful interests that benefit from offshoring. They're short-term interests. They benefit in the short term. In the long term, of course, the American corporations will be dead too, because when the dollar loses its reserve status, American power shrivels and their position becomes nothing.
But without manufacturing or production, America turned to consumption as national economic policy. The more they consumed, the higher their GDP. Or so the theory went. And with consumption being 70% of the U.S. economy, the more government policy favored consumers over savers.
You know, following the dot-com crash and then the attacks of September 11, America responded by slashing interest rates down to 1%. And then, oh my gosh, there was a consumer binge, a binge-aholism consumption like you wouldn't believe. That was the mandate from the president. Fight the bad guys. Consume.
And Americans heeded his command. They fought the bad guys in a consumption frenzy like the world has never seen. But they were borrowing over $2 billion from foreigners each and every day to finance this orgy of spending. And the deeper they went into debt, the further and further the dollar fell.
In 2006, the U.S. trade deficit was, I believe, $836 billion, almost $1 trillion. That means Americans consumed $836 billion of goods and services that they did not produce. And they consumed those by giving up the ownership of American assets. So it's kind of like eating the seed corn.
Question?
Yeah.
What would you say to, let's say, a statement made by Warren Buffett recently, well-known investor, that America is becoming a nation of sharecroppers, who he anticipates will be paying income tax to both Uncle Sam and China within the next 5 years?
I'm not sure about the exact gist, the exact detail, but the gist of it's the same. Yeah, basically, America's been living beyond its means.
Warren Buffett is correct that a rich nation that owns itself can become sharecroppers of foreign owners if it runs trade deficits continuously, because the way it pays for the trade deficit, that is the excess of its consumption over its own production, is by giving up the ownership of its assets. And if it gives up enough ownership of its assets over time, then foreigners become the recipients of the income streams from those assets, and you become essentially dispossessed in your own country.
Americans hadn't noticed, however, they were becoming dispossessed in their own country because house prices were booming. And while the cheap money music was playing, they were dancing. Until, that is, their lack of income caught up with their monthly mortgage payments and house prices tumbled.
You know, it was September 18th, 2007, when Ben Bernanke slashed interest rates by 50 basis points. Why?
You have to make sure that you keep the party going in the United States. You have to make sure that the economy is flourishing. You push the inflation on the back burner. You think you can deal with that later. And that explains why we are seeing the aggressiveness of the Fed. The Fed wanted to keep the party going. It knows that if they would introduce a severe austerity policy, the result of that could be that foreigners would flee U.S. assets. And then you would have a real U.S. dollar crisis.
Adding new money to the system without adding goods and services, of course, is inflation. This drives the price of everything higher. Well, chickens, for example. Here's a nice chicken. The price, as we are looking at the chicken, the price is actually moving up. I know you can't see that, but on the cosmic financial sphere of things, where the dollar is hitting new lows, the price of stuff goes up. Copper, wheat, milk, sugar, butter, all kinds of stuff. Whatever's in there, the price is going to go up.
When people say, oh, we can solve the problem by cutting the value of the dollar, the problem is when you're dependent on foreign imports and you cut the value of the dollar, all the prices go up of the things that you consume with which you live. And when they cut the value of the dollar, they don't also cut your home mortgage, your car payments, your credit card bills. Or when they say, oh, well, we have to pay Americans less so they can compete labor markets with Chinese. And so we're going to pay them less, as the new automobile agreement is, for any new hires. That's fine, but are you going to cut their car payments and mortgage payments and food bills and gasoline bills? And no, you're not. And so what you do is you are suppressing the living standards of Americans. You're cutting their living standard. And it is in the modern world, the notion of a country with falling living standards is not the definition of progress. Such a country will not have an optimistic future, and it most definitely will not be a superpower.
After the break, Max Keiser continues his vigil at the bedside of the U.S. dollar. Hello and welcome back. Max Keiser continues his investigation into the ill health and possible demise of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency.
The U.S. economy is teetering into recession and the dollar is tumbling. For years, everyone has worried about whether the great vendor, China, would continue funding America's massive debts. But it is the Middle East where we see the most dramatic evidence of a dollar losing its reserve currency status. The massive unfunded cost of the war in Vietnam forced the nearly bankrupt U.S. off the gold standard in 1971, and today the trillion-dollar cost of the Iraq War is equally driving down the dollar. Trade partners recognize that America will have to print dollars to pay for the war.
The combination of America's wars, America's money policies, China's rising energy needs has seen the price of oil skyrocket, and petrodollars have been flooding into the Gulf region. But with more dollars than they can spend, and the dollar peg becoming more expensive to maintain, what is the future of the dollar in the Mideast?
A dollar peg obviously means that you have as well to adopt the monetary policy of the currency you are pegged against. So in this case, to adopt the monetary policy of the United States. Now we have in the Gulf region, we have a terms of trade shock, which is positive, which comes via higher energy prices. We have booming economies, and we have definitely inflation on the rise.
Earlier this year, Kuwait broke its link to the dollar and decided to revalue its currency as a way of fighting inflation by allowing its currency to strengthen. The cost of imported goods would be less. It's been speculated that the other Gulf countries will also break the link to the dollar, and I believe that to be the case. It's unlikely that they can continue to be linked to the dollar as the dollar weakens against all the other major world currencies. They're going to want to break that link in order to, as Kuwait did, control inflation rates in their own country and develop their own independent monetary policy, which is understandable for a sovereign nation.
What do you see as the future dollar peg in this region?
Patience is required, but eventually the Middle East, in my view, will move away from a peg to the dollar. But it cannot take place when the main export of the region, energy, is priced in dollars. It can only take place after we've seen further economic diversification in this region. That will go hand in hand with deeper financial markets in the region. And then, and only then, I can see the region moving away from a peg to the dollar to a peg to a basket of currencies. That basket of currencies would include the Indian rupee, it would include the Chinese yuan, also the yen, the euro, and the dollar. The dollar would be important, but it will be a basket of currencies with which this region trades. And when that happens, I believe that oil will move from being priced in dollars to being priced against a basket of other currencies.
The question whether oil producers price in dollars or some other currency is not the key one. The key one, as we recently saw when one of the oil producers reduced its holdings of dollar-denominated assets in its investment portfolio from roughly 90% to 40%. This is an indication that they have already decided to diversify their investments away from dollars. And it is that kind of decision that would eventually result in the pricing of the oil in some other currency.
And while the last 5 years has seen America's reckless off-balance sheet wars and irresponsible fiscal policies rack up trillions in debt for future generations, here in the Mideast, they're actually accumulating trillions for future generations.
They are called sovereign wealth funds, and how they spend their trillions of dollars may determine the fate of the dollar.
Well, sovereign wealth fund is a government-controlled fund that basically invests around the world. Many countries have such funds. In the past, they tended to make normal investment-type decisions, but increasingly there's evidence that they're taking strategic investments.
Let's take, for example, this glass of water as being America's sovereignty, which is an economy of roughly $13 trillion. Now, because of its addiction to oil and gas, it's exporting its sovereignty into the sovereign wealth fund of the Mideast. Notice that the sovereignty of the U.S. is diminishing while the sovereignty wealth fund of the Mideast is improving. I don't think this is a point that the U.S. fully has taken on board, but I think that before long they will.
The dollar's on a path to what I call the fiat currency graveyard. And sooner or later it's going to get there, which means basically the dollar is going to cease being currency. Now, it may seem surprising, but the U.S. has gone through this experience once before with the Continental, which was the currency at the time of the War of Independence. And because of the fact that that Continental was not backed by anything solid, it was not backed by gold or silver, it created a fiat currency. There was no discipline on the money creation process, and there was a lot of economic and monetary turmoil as a result. So what the framers of the Constitution did, and one of the reasons to create a more perfect union, was to establish a sound money. We abandoned the wisdom of the framers of the Constitution back in 1971 when we went off the gold standard. And the tragedy is that we're now experiencing the same monetary problems, the same imbalances that the framers of the Constitution went through. So we either get off this path to the fiat currency graveyard, or we're going to end up, the dollar's going to end up, just like the Continental ended up. The saying was back then, not worth a Continental. Maybe our children and grandchildren will learn in history books, not worth a dollar.
But we blew it because the lack of rivals, the lack of having to mind our P's and Q's to stay up with the top. And we blew it because we had generation after generation that comes along used to the notion that we're the rulers of the world, we're supreme. What have we got to worry about? And all this gets reinforced by all the patriotic propaganda, and most Americans don't realize that they have a problem. I mean, they may realize they have a personal problem in their life, they can't pay the bills, but they don't realize the changing status of their country, the erosion of its weight in the world.
Yes, here we are at the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, France. You know, in 1971, Jim Morrison died. The same year, America went off the gold standard. Since that time, America has tried to shop its way to prosperity. Now the rest of the world is shopping for a new reserve currency.
You see, you could ask yourself, when did Romans recognize, you know, after centuries of total dominance? I mean, this was a real empire. This was total dominance, centuries.
When did they realize their predicament? Did they? When Rome was sacked? When did they realize that the greatness of Rome was over and done? And they'd done it to themselves.
You see, America doesn't have to be attacked from outside to collapse. It's doing a great job from within. Why? The death of the dollar. This is the end. The end of the dollar, my friend. This is the end, my friend. La, 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 la.
That was Max Keiser's report on the ill health of the US dollar. Now, what do you think? Should the dollar continue to be the world's number one currency? We welcome your views as ever on aljazeera.net/English. That's it for this program, and until next time, goodbye.
I wish to thank the sponsors for inviting me. I don't often get invited. This was an important debate. I had planned another closing message, but I feel compelled to say what I'm about to say. Now, I risk sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but it's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government. The combining of national governments started with the European Union. That union started with trade agreements, then a common currency, the euro, and now a European Parliament that is feverishly passing laws that override the laws of the member nations. A constitution was drafted but rejected by a few of those nations, but never mind. They implemented it anyway. Now it's North America's turn. Building on the North American Free Trade Agreement, the NAFTA section of the Commerce Department is busy drafting laws and regulations for a North American Union, a union of Canada, America, and Mexico. The President has attended secret meetings and signed at least two agreements under the Security and Prosperity Partnership Program.
For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, while people are saying peace and safety, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape.
Information leaked out about the meetings, and now it is all in the open. No treaty has been signed, so Congress has not become involved. However, money from our treasury is now being spent for this effort. We will have a new currency, the Amero, and a new constitution modeled on the Soviet Union's constitution. Our rights will not be inalienable, but they will be granted by government who can also take them away. One sign that this is our future is the plans for the superhighways from southern Mexico through America and into Canada. These plans are not secret any longer. Huge amounts of property will be taken in the name of free trade, peace and security. You will have a national ID card with a radio frequency chip in it. That's already law in America and will be implemented by May 2000. This man voted for it. You will not be able to move about freely. This is terrorism of the most worst kind. This is terrorism of the most worst kind. This is terrorism of the most worst kind, brought on you by our own government.
An oracle concerning Babylon that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw. Raise a banner on a bare hilltop, shout to them, beckon to them to enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my holy ones. I have summoned my warriors to carry out my wrath. Those who rejoice in my triumph. Listen, a noise on the mountains, like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations massing together.
The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. They come from faraway lands, from the ends of the heavens. The Lord and the weapons of his wrath to destroy the whole country. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Terror will seize them. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us. This is the portion of those who loot us.
The freest nation in the history of mankind will be averaged into world communism. Is that what you want? Are we the people still in control of this nation? We must begin to act like we are.
Stan Jones. On that, Conrad Burns. 3 minutes.
Sure glad you got such a rosy outlook on our future for our kids.
Steve, we also just heard from Paul Chertka that he does expect the dollar to continue to weaken into Christmas from against the euro. Do you think that momentum will impact any other asset classes?
Well, I'll tell you, take a look at the precious metals. They've taken off to the upside on the back of this dollar drop. We're coming into a cyclical bottom for gold, and it rises going into December, January, so that might be the reverse of the dollar fall. Apart from that, I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about, but I think it's going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. If you Google it, you'll find out all about it.
Well, you could tell us a little bit more right now.
You always hear it on CNBC, don't you? The Amero is the proposed new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community, much like the EU, and the dollar, Canadian dollar, U.S. dollar, and the Mexican peso replaced by the Amero.
You really think that will get any leeway?
You may want to visit a couple of websites and see how far along it is. The Canadians are pretty upset about it, whereas the Americans, apart from the Texans, are the only people who know anything about it. The rest of the public's really sort of with their head in the sand on this one.
Okay, interesting. I mean, we've already got NAFTA, the free trade zone, isn't? I mean, is that working? Is that doing enough?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's created a lot of illegal immigrants come across the border. I don't know. You get the pros and cons on this thing. NAFTA, for some people, is a very good thing. For other people, it's been a disaster. And I think this is one way that the politicians are trying to work themselves out of what potentially could be a disastrous situation going forward.
Especially with everything that's going on, oil touched $98+ a barrel today. They can't stop it. Riots in China over gasoline, dollar coming apart. Gold rolled into America up 25 this morning, only up 16. The minute they close it in New York, it's probably going to keep going. Why? Well, it's simple. Because people have lost faith in the United States Federal Reserve note. And you can't continue to keep printing into oblivion. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is merely a microcosm of the macroeconomic events that exist in our lives today. And really, there's no answer or easy answer, or if there's an answer at all, except maybe economic Armageddon. But ultimately, this is the result of plans put forth by boardrooms and politicians to sell out the United States and its citizenry under the guise of the almighty dollar, and it may be backfiring on them as we speak.
What happened? Asian investors dumped $52 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds in the month of August, led by Japan, $23 billion, China, $14.2 billion, Taiwan, $5 billion. Now, when these nations opt out of the dollar and say we're dumping it, China has already lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $7 and $8 billion just on the decline of the dollar. And Saudi Arabia now is saying we can't trust your dollar anymore. So when the dollar is not out there to be used, what happens to the national debt? Who's going to buy all of this? So the dollar basically has lost its standard, and folks, watch out. Ron Paul said last week that the dollar is going to zero.
We got Ron Paul on our website now, along with Lindsey Williams, so everything you need to know is at allamericangold.com. You know, it's interesting, though, because you and I were looking at each other before we went on the air, an article here on Market Watch this morning that China and now has $1.43 trillion. I think the last time you and I were on, they only had $1.03. So, I mean, what are they adding? What,
$500 billion now. Well, look at the trade deficits. $500 billion every 60 days. So, but they don't make anything here. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And these Chinese toy recalls are the who's who of every American industry when they finally get down to it. It's amazing. But, you know, this country's supposed to support a strong currency. A strong currency, and what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is really just pretty much a share of stock anymore, the Federal Reserve note. I mean, that's all that it is. It isn't constitutional money. It's not gold. It's not silver. You can't convert it. And I ran across some silver certificates that I had in the back going through inventory last night and doing an audit here. And I pull those out and look at them every now and then, how we just continually get lied to, because it says right on it, you can swap it for an ounce of silver. All right, is that not a currency default? Is that not a debt default? You bet it is. But, of course, you know, David Walker, the Comptroller of the United States of America, also pointed out the similarities between the Roman Empire and the United States of America. And, of course, when you start debasing currencies, ultimately the final blow always comes economically for societies. Are we in the middle of one now? Certainly looks like it.
Oh, positively. And when all of these nations are opting out of the dollar, saying we don't want it anymore, Saudi Arabia just last week came out and said we are going to begin to diversify. Well, that means OPEC's going to follow right in line. Well, who buys our treasury bills? Who's going to monetize our this horrible $1.3 trillion debt while
the guys that print the money. That's what's so funny. I mean, that's who's buying the debt, the guys that are driving us into debt. This is not getting better, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, it's speeding up. And what's funny here is somebody this morning asked the White House to comment on the weakness of the U.S. dollar. Okay, this is a Reuters Newswire this morning. And the White House's official response, are you ready for this one, ladies and Germans? We don't discuss currency movements. They said, if you want to know what's going on in the money, this was the White House spokesman Tony Fratto, said the administration declines to comment on currency movements and referred the questions to the Treasury Department. I mean, stop, think about that for a minute. Of course, what does the Treasury Department have to do with Federal Reserve notes? Nothing. They have nothing to do with it. Of course, the Treasury makes, you know, well, they still make the quarters. They don't say Federal Reserve on them. And the dimes and pennies. And they make U.S. Eagles and silver. And they make collectibles and whatnot. And those 50 state quarters and all that other stuff. But that's not what's coming apart, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about it. It is the Federal Reserve note. And that doesn't say, that's not the U.S. Treasury. All right, so I think that they ought to go, they should have followed up with the question, get the Treasury on the phone, and the Treasury should say, call Ben Bernanke, it's his fault. So now everybody's passing the buck, literally. We don't want it, you take it. Look at Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, the world's largest banks are going, they got problems. Nobody knows to what extent this is all going to come to fruition, because right now it's just their ability to lie. In other words, they keep bringing the people out going, it's contained, it's not going to be that bad, it's not going to affect the retail. Think of how this all started. And what this is, ladies and gentlemen, forget subprime that you keep hearing about. Forget Alt-A real estate. You got to look at everything. You have to look at the policies put forth. You have to look at free trade agreements and entire segments and classes of a U.S. economy wiped out, replaced with what? Consumerism and debt. And this is where the problem lies. It's not subprime. It's not Alt-A. It's not the rich. It's not the poor. It's debt. And it's just clogged up the system. I mean, you go stand in line at a Circle K and a guy buys a gallon of milk for $5.50 and puts it on a credit card. All right, now you start at that $5.50 transaction and take it all the way up to a $5.5 million home. You can call it anything you want. You can give it any name you want, but it's debt. And this is a debt crisis. The credit cards right now, people are living on them to pay off power bills, to pay off their landlords, to make their car payments. And the whole thing is, it's like, remember they said you couldn't pay off your Visa with your MasterCard? Well, this is exactly what's going on right now. So everything is just getting financed. Well, guess where it lands? When it all goes full circle, in other words, from the gallon of milk to the car payment to the power company to this to that, it all ends up and funnels in to these banks, all of it. You trying to tell me the Circle K doesn't process the same transaction as your car payment? All right, or your mortgage payment or your power bill, guess what? All those transactions that they call our GDP end up with one bank holding the debt on that entire transaction. Every one. They just keep going into the computers, and they go to Citigroup, and they go to Chase, and they go to the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and the people aren't making the payments, which sends the whole circle, breaks the whole circle. And this is where the debt problem lies. We're going to talk about that
and again, how it translates into what we're going to face here in the future. We'll be back.
On Monday, we were staying at the Intercontinental Playa Bonita Hotel. They said it was the nicest hotel in the state of Panama, the country of Panama, where the Panama Canal is, and I can believe it. And a person came up to me after my presentation on Monday, and they said, "Chaplain, look across the street from the hotel." And they said, "What have you seen over there?" Well, I walked out the front of the hotel. Sure enough, here was a huge Air Force base. I had not noticed it when we came in at night. And they were putting up a big fence all the way around it. I said, "What in the world is going on?" He said, "This was a United States Air Force base that has been bought by a British consortium. And they said, we're putting up this big fence around it because none of the products that come in here can be used around the country of Panama." They said they're bringing in the big aircraft, the 747s and others from China and India and other places, and this is going to be the official Air Force base for the North American Union. They're bringing in all the products to here, and we'll distribute them throughout Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Eric, if I had not been there, I had not seen it with my own eyes, I would not have believed what I saw. The elitists are rushing forward with this North American Union, and they must crash the elitists on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, because I was chaplain, and they said, "Would you sit in just in an advisory capacity?" And when all of these things took place, these people exist. They are doing this. They have an agenda. The North American Union is for real. The dollar is going to crash so they can bring in the Amero. The North American Union is for real. The dollar is going to crash so they can bring in the Amero.
All right, so there it is. There you have it. Hopefully with the last podcast I put up, the Monopoly Men, the exposing the Federal Reserve, in this podcast, you're getting a picture as to what's going down. And guys, I know this sucks. I know this sucks so bad. And reality's crashing in that you know, these guys are actually doing this. I mean, they're actually doing it. And, you know, the reality's sinking in that we're going to be facing this and revelations coming to pass. But if anything, you know, it should strengthen you to the point where you're like, okay, God wrote about it. You know, it's coming to pass. It's like it's like game on. You know, and I'm not trying to say this is a game or anything, but you know, this is serious stuff. So, you know, we got Ronald Wineland just put out a blog, and he's saying, you know, 45 days from now, which lands on March 24th, that the seventh seal is going to open. And you know, Ziggy and I have done a podcast exposing him as part of the New World Order. But if he is part of the New World Order, then he knows something, you know. And, you know, the funny thing is right on that day, March 24th, on the satanic calendar, they're having a feast to the beast. And it's going to be a dark time around March 24th because the spirits are going to be, they're going to be floating around. They're going to be active. This only happens every 28 years. And supposedly Satan manifests himself to give them direction. So we need to be praying. We need to fight evil with good, and we need to pray. We all need to be on our knees praying to the Lord and asking him to surround us with his protection and to give us guidance as to how we are to carry out, you know, what we need to do. So in closing here, I want to read an article. It's the global. It's from the Global Europe Anticipation Bulletin. It's paid attention to a lot over in Europe for financial information. You can find this at www.leap2020.eu. That's leap2020.eu. If you guys want to check it out. But the title of the article is Full Global Impact Phase of the Very Great U.S. Depression. And this was published January 16th, 2008. It says, 1 year ago, LEAP 2020 anticipated that the year 2007 would mark the U.S. entry into what our team called the Very Great U.S. depression. At that time, the dominant spirit was overwhelmingly euphoric. The word subprime was still unknown among the general public, and experts estimated that the U.S. housing crisis would bear no consequences for the rest of the U.S. economy, and they simply refused the very idea that it could have the least global impact. In the course of 2007, facts, however, proved that a global systematic crisis was indeed throwing down all the principles the global economy was based upon since 1945, and that along with the GEAB's analysis in September 2007, the seven sequences of the impact phase of the global systemic crisis would simultaneously reach climax in the course of the year 2008. One aspect and a catalyst of this global systemic crisis is the United States stepping into an unprecedented, number one, socioeconomic crisis in 2007, hitting hard on the households. Number two, as a result of the housing bubble burst and of their increasing insolvency, soon followed by financial operators' insolvency, due to the pure and simple evaporation of the U.S. dollar, hundreds of billions worth in assets. In 2008, in addition to these two types of U.S. players, companies will be hit as are caught in the crossfire between credit crunch and the collapse of household consumption, as well as public organizations whose fiscal revenues crumble. From now to this summer in particular, the financial crisis triggered by the U.S. subprime mortgage loans will turn into a much wider-ranging crisis involving the implosion of the credit default swaps market. This will represent a now tipping point in the impact phase of the global systemic crisis. Asia, Europe, and emerging countries in 2008, direct but mitigated impact of the very great U.S. depression, recession, stagflation, and Western financial institutions taking control. Simultaneously, the diving of the U.S. into the very Great Depression will bear a full direct impact on global economy altogether. The Eurozone will step into a perdio of stagflation, while the rest of the EU, the UK in the first place, will be sucked up in a recessionary process. Denmark, and probably soon after Sweden, are preparing to join the Eurozone, as Prime Minister Fogg Rasmussen clearly expressed, who recently resurrected the idea of holding a referendum on the euro. These two countries are aware that the Eurozone will not cause any difficulty to their joining. Under the treaty, Sweden should in fact already be part of the Eurozone because it is required to adopt the euro at a certain time. This sudden Scandinavian craving for the single currency is not the result of any recent conversion to the merits of European integration, but their growing awareness of the magnitude of the upcoming monetary, financial, and economic turmoil, which could be lethal for small-sized economies not protected by a complete integration to larger entities. On the east of the EU, many countries are striving to reduce the time needed to join Euroland. However, the differences in economic situations are still too important for these countries to be fully sheltered when the tempest hits full shot in 2008. Even Denmark and Sweden are lagging behind events. In fact, the Eurozone will not present exciting prospects in the year to come with a growth rate around 1%, but compared to the rest of the world, it will be by far the area least affected by the impact of the crisis. And let's see here, I need to read the whole article. But basically, they say down here at the bottom, if anyone still doubts that there is a recession in the U.S., we suggest he, she complies to the following simple exercise. Enter the expression December sales down in Google and see the impressive list of companies from all sectors, retail sales, cars, electronic furnitures, etc., whose sales collapsed in December 2007, a month usually very profitable due to the holiday season. And they have another note down here. It says, or rather with a precedent which most experts and specialized media often refer to, and that is the 1929 crisis and the Great Depression that followed on the 1930s. I probably didn't need to read that, but anyway, as you can see here, the global Europe Anticipation Bulletin at leap2020.eu is calling this upcoming market that we're going into this summer, it's going to be called the Very Great U.S. Depression. Not just a depression, but a very great U.S. depression. So you can see how it's being reported very differently over in Europe as opposed to our own country, thanks to the CFR-controlled news outlets and the fact that they seem to be more interested in Britney Spears and her psychiatric problems and Roger Clemens with the steroid issue and all of these non-important so-called stars, they're not reporting it to us. Why? Because our economy is based on confidence. It's a fiat currency. It's not backed by gold. It's only backed on confidence that if you get a certain amount of dollars, that you can take it somewhere else and somebody else will take that money. But see, it's a snowball effect, because if you are having a problem and you think, you know, you don't have any confidence in the economy, you're going to be like, well, I'm going to hold on to my money because, you know, I need to be safe. I'm going to hold on to my money. So there's people that, and this is a simple analogy, but so those people that you are going to give your money to aren't getting it because you're holding on to your money, and because their sales are down or their money input's down, they're like, oh, crap, let me hold on to my money, and they're not spending their money, and pretty soon it snowballs, and, you know, it's like, the dollars aren't worth anything, so they're like bad checks that can never go back to the bank. You just have to keep passing them around. So, you know, this could be a snowball effect. So I just wanted to make you guys aware of this. The Bible says that silver and gold are not going to save you. Even if you save up food, if the chaos is great enough, people, you know, I'm not trying to be a fearmonger, but I'm just trying to be realistic. People could just, you know, come up in your house and jack you up with some kind of weapon, you know, and steal your food. So if you're going to, this is, all this boils down to, guys, is we're going to have to trust the Lord. And that's not the last thing in our black book. That should be the first thing. That should be the first thing on our list, is that we are trusting in the Lord to get us through this. And we know that even if our life isn't spared, that our Lord is going to resurrect us. So you guys hang tough with this. I'm praying for you, and I ask that you would pray for me, because I have been going through a lot of oppression lately, and I would really appreciate it. I really would. I mean, I don't know where this goes out to. You know, there could be witches out there, Satanists, all kinds of stuff. And you know, all of us podcasters and people, you know, who are putting this message out are out there. And people are listening, and we can be targets. It's like, you know, when you start doing something for the Lord, Satan puts, you know, sees a big red target on your back. So, you know, who knows what's going on? I take solace in the fact that, you know, the Lord says the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So, you know, and that angels encamp about those who fear the Lord. So, just pray for us all. We really need your prayers, and I would greatly appreciate it. I really would. And I know all of these other guys would too, and all of the listeners. And we're praying for you. You know, I'm personally praying for you guys. It's kind of hard, and it's weird because, like, I don't know everybody that's listening. But the Lord does, and I know that. And I ask the Lord to just surround you guys with his protection, to open the eyes of your understanding, to give you discernment in these days. So you guys hang tough, stay passionate, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And remember that Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world, and we're going to be overcomers through him. So I'm going to wind up this cast. You can contact me at truthstream@podomatic.com, or you can email my personal address, the TrueStream address at Podomatic, Potomatic's just screwing up. Ziggy was just fussing about that, I know, in his Mad as Hell podcast. So I totally agree. It's glitchy. I mean, it's a pain in the butt. So, you know, if you guys want to email me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's EPIPHOS, epiphos@hotmail.com. I will get the email there, and I would greatly appreciate it. I want to give a shout-out to Days of Prophecy. Guardian, I got your you called my listener comment line, dude, and I appreciate that. I really do. Man, you have no idea how encouraging that was to me. For you listeners out there, Guardian called me and just gave me some encouragement. Let me know that I wasn't alone, that he appreciated the podcast. And I love it when you guys do that. I love when you contact me and you email me. I mean, that gives me fuel. So, you know, anytime you guys just got an extra minute and you want to call my listener call in line, it's 206-350-0054. Or, you know, make a comment on the podcast so I know what you're thinking. Or email me. Let me know. Because I don't know who's out there unless you contact me. And I love it, you know. It makes my day. So, but I do appreciate you guys listening. I'm praying for you, as I said. Please pray for me. Hang tough in the Lord. And, you know, just know that we're going to get through this. We're going to be all right in the end. Because, and just thank our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, for laying his life down for us. Because, man, if he didn't do that, we would be lost. And I want that to sink in with the full amount of weight. He rescued us from this evil age. And thank him for that and give him glory. So I'm going to wind this up. I love you guys because you love the Lord and you love truth. You have received the love of the truth, thereby avoiding the delusion that's coming. That's talked about in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is. And hang in there. And, oh man, just keep sane. Keep sane. Hang it. Get in the Word. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. I'm your host, Amos Ridley. And if I don't see you guys on this side, if I don't meet you, I want to see you guys on the other side.
Made like a mirror to reflect his glory, but the glass got smashed by the counterfeit story. We gave in to pride, sacrificed life on that day we died. Inside, outside, we ignited a rebellion, an infectious disease that labels us felons. Cold and alone, never want to ring in search of a home. Heart breaking and shaking, in time with our hearts vibrating. We saved bridges to yesterday are burned. Season's over, all those leaves have turned. We cannot look now, we can only keep our gaze locked on the ground. As we stand with wide, wide eyes as our world comes crashing down. Who am I to say right, right? Who am I to say you're wrong? Play judge, look you in the eye. Who am I to throw the stones? Who am I to say right, right? Who am I to say you're wrong? Play judge, look you in the eye. Who am I to throw the stones?
Now remember when trust went for free. Soul for a smile on the face of a fantasy. Truth found a home in the pages of fairy tales. Decadent words form the phrases from dreams that fail. Now trust is a costly commodity. Giving it away is the mark of absurdity. And truth is a homeless traveler, hoping in the night to be found.
Heartbreaking and shaking, in time with our hearts vibrating.
We save bridges to yesterday and burned. Season's over, all those leaves have turned.
Look now, we can only keep our gaze locked on the ground.
As we stand with wide, wide eyes as our world comes crashing down.
Who am I to say right, right? Who am I to say you're wrong? Play judge, look you in the eye. Who am I to throw the stones? Who am I to say right, right? Who am I to say you're wrong?